So, Matt, why did you decide to do some five-minute shows?
Well, I got sort of intrigued at the idea when I accidentally found the series one Monday evening, flipping channels, and I recognized the backdrop from the segments from the Greg Sterlay show, and I put two and two together and figured that the same people were partially responsible. And it just seemed like a interesting way to have an avenue for expression from poetry to music to just general discussion to debates that carried on from week to week. It was kind of funny seeing people have it was almost a running series from one week to another where you had one side and then you had another side. And it seemed like something I might have fun doing.
Okay. Could you please sing a song?
Could I sing a song? Well, let's see.
You can sing a hockey song if you want.
Sing a hockey song. One of the first records I ever got, I'm a huge record collector, one of the first records I ever got was We're Gonna Win That Cup. And
Sabres are razor sharp, yeah, yeah. We got Bones, we got Roger Crozier making them saves. You know we got Robert and Martin making that big power play.
That's about all I can remember of that one, but I love hockey.
Yeah,
I love
music. I remember that song. I remember the phrase, where there's a Gilles, there's a way.
Where there's a Gilles, there's a way. Yeah, that was one of the lines I had trouble understanding when I was younger. But so many great players that are mentioned in that song. Every one of them should be in the Hockey Hall of Fame, I think. Danny Gare, Craig Ramsey.
And Rick Martin.
Rick Martin. And ironically, so few of them actually continued their careers in Buffalo after that, and Craig Ramsey had to wait some 20-some years before he finally won a Stanley Cup as a coach. And
that was
with Tampa Bay.
With Andrejczyk and...
Right. Andrejczyk, another former Sabre.
And I think the head coach was John Tortorella, right?
Right. John Tortorella, former coach of the Rochester Amherst. I think he was an assistant with the Sabres.
Well, it seems like the Hall of Fame penalizes a player that gets injured. I think if Rick Martin did get that bad knee injury, he would have got 500 goals and he would have made it, but he did, and he just fell short of, I think he had 370-something or something like that.
Yeah, I think it was close to that.
And I think Danny Gare, he would have made it too. I think he would have got five, but then he had that bad back injury.
Yeah, there were so many debates, especially at the time around 1981. I remember one of the saddest days as a Buffalo Sabres fan when Rick Martin and Don Lewis were traded to Los Angeles and Danny Gare and Jim Schoenfeld were traded to Detroit. And it was like the dismantling of the heart of the Sabres, and Rene Robert had been traded a few years before that.
Right.
And many people criticized Scotty Bowman for that, and many of the players... I know Rick Martin especially was very vocal in his criticism of Scotty Bowman and oftentimes even blamed him for playing him even though he was injured and probably had an effect in shortening his career. But I agree with you that if those injuries hadn't occurred, then there would be a lot more Buffalo Sabres hanging in that Hall of Fame than there currently are. I think Gilles Perreault and Pat LaFontaine are the only players I can think of.
Well, the only other one I could think of was Tim Horton.
Tim Horton, that's right.
Yeah, I actually when I went to a hockey excursion where we watched the Sabres play Pittsburgh, I actually met Tim Horton. I actually shook his hand. And a few months afterwards, he had that bad car accident and died.
That's incredible.
Yeah. I shook Craig Ramsey's hand, and I met Jill Perreault and Rick Martin and Jerry Meehan.
That's
Rick,
cool.
Rick Martin. He's a real small guy, but he's like, legs are like tree trunk. He's really built, but I mean, I shook Tim Horton's hand. I mean, his head was strong. Nobody messed with him.
He was legendary for being physically imposing.
I remember one fight he had with Dave the Hammer Schultz. He just grabbed him and just wrestled to the ice, and Schultz couldn't get his arm free. That's how strong he was.
Yeah.
Well, do you got any more hockey songs or any other songs you want to sing, Matt?
Let's see. Do I have any more hockey songs? Well, I've got a song called Buffalo Girl where I talk about wanting to be in a blizzard versus being in an earthquake or a tornado, because when it snows, that means it's hockey season, and every Sabres fan holds on to the hope that the team is going to someday win that cup. Maybe this season. If the whole league is going to be restructured, we'll see.
Bigger goals?
Bigger nets, smaller. I don't like the idea of giving the goaltender smaller equipment, because they gave the goaltender equipment in the first place to protect themselves. How many goaltenders went blind? I remember, I forgot which Sabres goaltender got hit in the eye.
Gary DeJordan.
That's right, yeah.
Because he had the old mask,
the
and
old
he got it,
mask.
It got it in the eye. And then when they went to the cage, that prevented that.
Yeah, so I think they're going to revert back now to having smaller goal pads. So are they going to revert back to those masks? I mean, what?
No, they can still wear the cage.
Because I remember seeing a few games where Dominic Hasek actually made a save with his helmet. If he didn't have the helmet on, if that puck would have hit him traveling that fast, there would have been some serious brain damage done.
No, it's still the same helmet. Hasek, he wore that helmet, and I see the head pucks into the corner like a pass, like soccer players.
Yeah. Let's see. Well, see, the verse of that song goes, let's see.
I was born among good neighbors, 1973. There's a blizzard going on, nowhere I'd rather be. 'Cause it's hockey snow, come on, let's go. Time to drop the puck. Someday, girl, somehow I know, really gonna win that cup. You come out tonight, Buffalo girl, catch a moon so bright. Let's take a walk beside the lake, let me hold you tight. Buffalo girl, won't you come out tonight?
I like it. Any other sports
Thanks.
Songs? You got the theme There's music from Hockey Night, in Hockey Night in Canada. You got it.
I can't remember how that one goes. I know how it goes in my head, but I can't.
How about the Sabres dance? You got that?
Oh, geez. That's too fast to play on this kind of guitar.
Too hard to play?
Hello out there, we're on the air, it's hockey night tonight. I can't remember how that one.
Was that an old...
Stoppin' Tom Connors, the hockey song. They used to play it in intermissions at the hockey games. Oh, take me where the fuck is there, and it goes up and down the ice, and I forgot how it goes. Oh, the good old hockey game, it's the best game you can name.
How did you get so hooked on hockey? Did your father get you hooked on hockey?
My mom was a member with my aunt and all her friends. They were among the original members of the Sabres Booster Club.
Uh-huh.
and they used to take me to games before I could walk. And I've got pictures of myself when I was maybe a year and a half old of Gilles Perreault and Brian Spencer and Jim Lorenz and most of the 73-74 team holding me. I'm wearing a hideous plaid leisure suit. Even at age two, they had leisure suits. And I'm wearing one, and all of the whole Sabres team were all wearing plaid leisure suits. So I guess I wasn't too far out of style. And it just ever since then, I was hooked. And being a town that has football and hockey, well, at the time we had basketball and soccer as major league sports, and now we're down to football and hockey, and we've got minor league baseball. This last season really hurt not having hockey, and I became, with my wife, a little bit more of a Buffalo Bandits fan because they played in the same arena, and in a lot of ways the game is similar to hockey. It's very fast-paced. But I've played hockey then my whole life. I've watched it my whole life. And
did you play street hockey?
I played street hockey when I was younger. I actually didn't start playing ice hockey until about 3 or 4 years ago.
Are you a good skater?
I'm a decent skater. I average one goal per season, about one,
one
or two goals
goal
a season.
So like you're
I'm chasing Rob Ray's goal all-time goal record. So I've got a little bit.
You're a defensive specialist.
Yeah,
like
I'm a defensive player, definitely. You know, drop down, block the puck.
What's your best position? Forward? Can you skate? Or are you a defenseman? Can you
skate
backwards?
I'm strictly a defenseman. I can go on the attack when I need to, but my best position is playing defense.
What about goaltender? Are you crazy enough to go in the nets?
I used to play goaltender in high school when we would play street hockey, or when we'd play hockey in the gym. But after a few times of having my hands, because we weren't allowed to wear any kind of gloves, so after a few times of having my hands chopped with a hockey blade, I decided against continuing a career in playing goaltender.
Did you use real pucks, or did you use those hard orange balls?
Yeah, the hard orange balls, which trying to catch those too as a goaltender without a glove is, that stings.
So I've never played street hockey. We just use regular baseball gloves.
Yeah, we used that for street hockey, but for some reason when we were in gym class, they didn't have the equipment, and then nobody thought to bring their own from home. But yeah, we used to just use tennis balls when we played street hockey.
Yeah, tennis balls, and just we used to do on the street just regular pucks.
Really?
Your goaltender, you used to get hit with them, but they really hurt.
Yeah, it leaves
a mark
on your
hands.
Hard
rubber, especially when it was cold outside. And, it's sort of like short straw to see who gets in the net, because nobody wanted to be in the net because nobody had the goaltender equipment. So basically the goaltender just would just wear a lot of clothes and just hope he got lucky. Nobody lifted the puck.
If you think about it, how many times have somebody shot the puck and it's shattered the glass? And how thick that glass is around a hockey rink, and compare that to your hand or your arm.
Right.
That could do some serious damage. And some of the pucks I hear are made of old tires, and there's occasionally you'll get bits of like the steel belted radial bits inside the puck, which makes it even harder, especially if that's on the edge that hits something.
And plus, when we played on the street, we didn't wear any masks, so the goaltender was just, please don't lift the puck. I don't get hit in the head with the damn puck.
Yeah, no. We always had the stick length rule. If you were within a stick's length of the net, you couldn't do a slap shot at all.
Right.
But I liked wrist shots better anyway. It was more precision. I tried to pattern my shot after Danny Gare unsuccessfully.
Did the Sabres ever give you tips on shooting or anything?
Not personally, one-on-one. And when I was two, I hadn't started playing seriously yet, but actually in 1981 I won a hockey stick that was autographed by the current the team at the time.
You still got it?
Still have it. Made a mistake of using it because all my other hockey sticks broke.
Oh,
so the blade is really worn down, and some of the some of the autographs in time have worn off, but you can still read Mike Foligno on there, and Alan Hayworth and Gilles Hamel. I'm trying to think who else was around at the time, 81. Rick Seeling, Derek Smith.
Boy, that's quite a ways back.
A lot of Scotty Bowman's recruits.
Fred once had a stick from Gilles Perreault, but he lost it. He doesn't know what he did with it.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, it's just like I had a big collection of football cards, baseball cards, that.
Yeah.
When I was younger, mother threw them out.
Mother threw them out. Yep. I used to have the Wayne Gretzky rookie card. I have his second year card. I had so many good cards that were just lost, and we moved a few times when I was younger, and a lot of things got thrown out then, but I managed to hang on to a few good cards.
So who do you think put this great love of music in you? Was it your father, mother, grandparents?
Let's see, the great love of music probably would be anybody that I grew up with. My grandmother was a big fan of like Dean Martin and Ricky Nelson and swing music like Glenn Miller.
Uh-huh.
My grandpa liked old country from the 1970s, Waylon Jennings, Willie Nelson, Kris Kristofferson. My aunt was a big Rolling Stones fan. My mom loved the Beatles. My dad loved The Who. So I was able to get a really good mixture of all different types of music when I was growing up. My mom was a big Neil Diamond fan, too. And we would take trips down to Florida, and we'd drive the whole way there, and for 24 hours straight, you heard nothing but Neil Diamond.
Do you hate Neil Diamond?
Of course not.
Baby, love me, yes, yes, she does. All the girls out of sight, yeah. She got the way to move my cherry.
Right. It's like them songs you can hear, whether you're a fan or not, and in this case, I do like Neil Diamond, but some of the songs when you're growing up, or at any time, you just hear them so many times, you can't block them out anymore, and you start humming them in your sleep.
Yeah, just like the Beatles songs.
Yeah, like Hey Jude.
Fool on the Hill.
We were in Florida for our honeymoon in October, and there was a Beatles band at Epcot playing Hey Jude, and...
I went to that in Florida too.
Yeah, did you see that?
Yeah.
The guy was actually humorous about it that was playing in the band. He said, I know what you're thinking. Why did he have to play that song? Because 2 hours from now, you'll be lying in your hotel room and you'll start singing to yourself, na, 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 na. Like the song that never ends.
I was going to ask you, do you want to plug your website?
Yeah, let's plug the website. I actually have a couple. Mattsmusic.net, MattsMusic.net. I also have a business I just started up to promote my own shows and other shows, including the Tonawanda Folk Festival that's coming up. That's TricentennialMusic.com, named after one of my songs that I wrote with my good friend Eric Erzing. I guess that's my website plug. And my band, The Works, which does music completely different from what I do on my own. That's theworksband.com, WORKSBAND. And you should come out and see it, because every time we do a show, it's always different.
Okay. At your website, I think you said your father was a salesman.
My dad's a salesman. My grandfather's a carpenter.
Well, we're close to time here. Well, I still got this one question. My question is, your father was a salesman. Did he teach you anything about when you go on stage to sort of sell your performance, or?
I don't know. It's sort of, you need to know when to separate being a salesman and being a musician. It's important to sell yourself, definitely. But at the same time, if you're a salesman and you're trying to sell an Eskimo a refrigerator, you'll talk for a half hour. If you get up on stage and you try to talk for a half hour, the place is going to empty out. So you have to definitely have a balance. you want to talk a little bit between songs so that the audience gets to know who you are, but you don't want to overdo it. I usually save the sales skills and that for making posters and on designing the websites and things like that.
But he probably taught you. It seems like you got to do all the promoting for yourself on TV shows and on your website. He probably taught you something about promoting.
He taught me the value of hard work, I guess, is the that side of my family is Polish-Russian background, who are Polish people in general are very hard workers. And so he taught me the value of working hard, no matter what you do, and always give it your all.
Right.
But at the same time, the other half of my family is Irish, so they're hard workers too. So I guess no matter what I do, I always work hard.
All right. We officially ran out of time. Thank you for the interview, and thank you for the reminiscing about the Sabres when the NHL was exciting and good.
Yeah, absolutely. We need to bring that back.